kids are dismissed to Camp Sunrise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have made. We thank you for everyone that is present. This is your church, Lord. We are called to be the body of Christ. So, Lord, I just thank you for everyone that is here, for all the kids that are going downstairs and those that are helping, that you would guide, lead, direct them, encourage them. Lord, we thank you for your precious promises. We thank you in an ever-changing world that, Father God, you are consistent. You or your promises do not change, and you are faithful to your word. So, Father, for those that are struggling, those who do not fully know you, that, Lord God, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would move upon them today, and that you would open your word, that we would be encouraged, uplifted, convicted. But most of all, Lord, that we would just have an encounter with you today through your living word. We thank you, and I ask that you would guard my lips and bless this time. And all God's people said, amen. I want to teach you how to catch a monkey today. This is true. You can catch a monkey by putting a box with this hole in it, just big enough for the monkey to reach his hand in there. And if you put treats in there, they'll reach down in there. And if you connect something to the box, they won't let go. They'll hold on to that the whole entire time and trap themselves. You might go, well, what does that have to do with the sermon or message today? Because in a lot of ways, we are trapped just like that monkey, because there's certain things that we don't let go of. And you might not even know you're doing it. And so we're encouraged through the word of God, amen, that we are called to be new creatures in Christ Jesus, that God is doing a new thing. We hear these things. And so we're going to look at scripture today. And then we're going to also look at some of the behavior patterns that we might be actually doing in our life, some of the behavior patterns that we might actually be practicing and be completely unaware of. But those patterns hold us back from growth, growing in our walk with God, growing in relationships. And not only that, it will also expose and bring things to light of why we might feel a certain way, why we might feel stuck or anxious or depressed. A lot of these things are answered in Scripture. God gives us everything that we need. Amen? So if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to start in verse 15, and it says, I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, and they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When Isaiah was speaking this prophecy at this time, Israel was going through, let's just say they were in desperate times. Their temple had been destroyed. They had been taken away from their home. Their land was in ruins. They were not united. They were broken. And so God, even though these are the consequences of their sins and their own actions, in other words, they put themselves there. It wasn't God's doing. A lot of the time, people find themselves in turmoil, and then they get angry at God, but yet they never consulted God or even asked if that's what he wanted them to do, or they wanted him to bless something that he was never going to be in the first place. And so here we have the consequences, but we serve a mighty God that there's not only consequences for our actions, he's always bringing hope, and he's speaking hope through the prophet Isaiah to Israel. And he's talking about their redemption, the reconciliation of that broken relationship so that they can be restored to who they have been called to be. And so when we look at this, just to give you a little background of what was happening with them, he had already freed them, and when he speaks in verse 16, says the Lord who makes a way in the sea. This is after they'd already been freed from the Exodus. He's saying, even though all this, he's been freed from the seas, he parted the waters, but it's been so far past that that now they had forgotten all that God had done for them, and they started serving idols, as we know, and doing other things. And so in these consequences, a judgment was upon them. Now, God was wanting them to say specifically, and what we're looking at here is, do not remember the former things. God is not invalidating the pain that they're going through or the suffering. He just doesn't want them to stop moving forward. He doesn't want them to come to a place where they only think of, oh, all the good stuff God has done is already in the past when he freed us, or maybe when we were underneath King David. They were like, maybe God's not doing anything now because look at our current situation. And I think sometimes if we're honest, if we find ourselves in a place where we're disappointed or upset or frustrated or struggling, a lot of the times we'll go, well, what's God doing? Where is he in this, in my failing body? Where is he in this with the struggle with finances or whatever it might be? And he's saying, do not remember the former things. Remember the new things, because he is going to do a new thing. And then he even says, will you not know it? See, God has given us his word, and in this word, I want to say, not only are there prophecies being fulfilled, he's given this word so we have an anchor to our soul. So when you look at the word of God and how you relate to things in life, you will not be disappointed, because this reveals everything, every plot, all the problems with the nations and the wars and everything going on. We can be at peace because we are united with God. Through Jesus Christ, we are able to have that perfect peace that passeth all understanding. Amen? So he says, do not remember the former things. Again, like I said, he didn't want them to dwell on the past. You know, that's something easy to say. And sometimes based on the trauma or whatever it is in our life, it's hard to ever feel like we can break away from that. But I'm here to tell you, you can. Some things take longer. Some things take time, but we want to put ourselves in a position to know, and do you believe that God is doing a new thing in your life? If we're new creatures, that means new things are happening. God is doing a new thing. He wants, and he's speaking of not only the future restoration and reconciliation that comes through Jesus, he's wanting to encourage this group of people, the Israelites, who have turned their back on him. That's a lot of love. If someone turns their back on you when you have helped them countless times, you don't write a song about it. You don't send a prophet to encourage them, because we're human. If you hurt me, shame on me. But if you hurt me, if I go and trust you twice, shame on me. How does that go? Thank you. So we're like, hey, you know, but God knows already what they're going to do, and he's always offering hope. Even today, people struggle. People struggle whether or not God is going to do something different, or if this is just it. The part where you're like, is this just it? You got to ask yourself, have we put ourselves in a place where we're immersed in the word, or do we allow all of our circumstances to dictate who we are and how we feel? Or do you identify as a child of God through the word of God, and that's how you view all the things that come into your path? And you can do that without being overly zealous and religious. You can do that passionately and looking at everything as an opportunity to grow. Amen? So now if you would turn with me to Philippians, because Paul addresses this as well. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Paul, who had come out of a very strict religious upbringing, right? Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, if you will. He was the most religious guy in the room. But when he came out of that, and as a follower of Jesus, ever since the road to Damascus, things began to change in Paul's life. And the very person that used to stone Christians and bring them out and kick doors down and bring them out into the streets so that they can be judged, right? That man is the man that God chose to use to spread the gospel all over Asia Minor. And in that, he also had to deal with the bad decisions that he made when he was underneath this religious, critical mindset that he was in, to a humble place where he had to trust God. And so when we see Paul, he's talking because here he is in the Philippian church, and here's a church that started out and they liked the grace of God, but it's kind of just easier to go back to what we're used to and form. And so they're trying to, there's this over mixture of, well, you got to do the law and you got to do this. And it wasn't so much by faith, by works, but, you know, kind of how much you're doing and all of this other stuff. That creeps into the church as well today. And Paul is saying this to them in verse 12. Well, let's start in 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained it or am already perfected. In other words, not that I've achieved this, not that I'm there yet, okay? But I press on that I may hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now think about, Paul could have thought about all the pieces in the, or all the people and the screams that he heard when he pulled families away, people that were hiding as Christians, as he pulled them out. Maybe he remembers Stephen when he cried out, the first martyr in the book of Acts. Paul was there. He held the cloak while people threw stones at him. This is what Paul has to remember. You understand? How many of you have done something you're ashamed of? You don't have to raise your hand. How many have you done something that you're so ashamed of? Now picture everyone knows that. Just like Paul. People knew. Christians knew what he had done. And you don't think they were talking about him? And he says, I forget that person I used to be. And I move onward to what God has called him to be. There's a difference. If we don't know who we are in Christ, you're going to always be who you used to be, or you're going to stay stagnant and you're not going to grow at all. And you can even memorize scripture and not grow. We have to apply it. We have to be humble and honest with ourselves. So I want to talk about a few things that can keep us from growing. And even when I'm doing this study, I'm noticing certain things that I possess that I didn't think until I'm starting to look at it. So behavior patterns that will hold us back or trap us, just like that monkey. Procrastination and avoidance. How many of you procrastinate? We all kind of do, right? Sometimes. When we put important tasks or responsibilities, often favoring more enjoyable or less challenging ones. This can bring stress in our life, right? Did you know that they say depression, one of the key, not all times, but one of the key contributors to depression is failure to do normal responsibilities because we're overwhelmed and there's so much to do we don't know where to start. Doesn't mean you have a long-term depression, but that will bring you down, right? So these are things. So what do we do? What are some things that we can do to fix that? Break larger tasks down to more manageable ones. Use time management techniques. Be realistic. Another one is a fixed mindset. Oftentimes we'll have a way of thinking. Our beliefs about ourselves are indeed powerful. Would you agree? So with a mindset where it's fixed, it's like, well, this is just how I am. This is who I am. There's nothing, I'm just not gifted in that area. Have you ever said that to yourself? I can't do that. That's for someone else to do. I don't know how to, I'm not, that's not my gifting. Now, yeah, we all have gifts. But I'm talking outside of that realm. I'm talking, well, I just don't know if, you know, I'm prone to anger, or I'm prone to frustration, or I'm prone, you know, I'm just an introvert. I don't want to go do these things. And we just like, there's no room to change because we've already made our mind up. It's like, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, this is who I am. This is how it's going to be. Right? Sometimes when we get older, it's like, hey, well, I'm just going to accept this. When in reality, we really don't have to. A lot of the times we forget that if we have a mindset, your mind's going to affect everything you do and think about the world and those around you and the conversations that you have and the motivations of others, your job, your employment, everything, how you view yourself, all of these things. It's, why do you think it says we need to have this mind that is, you know, like Christ Jesus? Or how does it say, take every thought captive? Because our mind is what's going to get us in the most trouble. You can smile to everyone, but your mind could put you in a dark place. Would you agree? And it's important to be aware of these things, to not have it. So that's another one, fixed mindset. To come against that is to look at every day as a gift and an opportunity. And to challenge yourself to change. And then be realistic with it. See, I'm like an ADD person. I've been ADD my whole life, if you don't know that. If you don't believe me, you can ask every family member. And that's not a scapegoat. Don't know why, whatever, but you know, to me, if I can't see big results quickly, it's really hard to see it through sometimes. Does that make sense? If I can't finish a task, then I almost don't want to start a task. Because there's no time in the day to finish the task, even though that task would never really realistically be finished that day. Because I'm an overly optimistic time estimator. Any of you in here like that? Yeah, I'll do that in a day. Week and a half later. Those struggles, my thinking, now I've gotten older, I know my weaknesses, now I know how to kind of work around them. I know how to be more realistic with those things. Amen? Then there's the negative mindset. If you're watching news all the time, it would be hard-pressed for me to think you don't have a negative mindset. I would love just to do a news channel that only says good things. The world is great today. We have peace over here, all these ideas, right? We don't ever hear that. But think about it. Negative mindset. What is a negative mindset? You can't accept anything that is good without picking it apart to find its fault. That would be a negative mindset. A negative mindset is also a view of yourself. You make a mistake, you make some failures, and you can't look past that, and you consider yourself broken, and so you constantly criticize yourself, regardless if there's facts to back it up or not. You're the first person to tear yourself apart, and the first person to tear someone else apart. Because you're used to being disappointed. If you were raised in a family where you weren't held a lot, hugged a lot of the times that will contribute to a negative mindset in your life. And what I mean by that is you're not going to get excited about anything because you feel like the rug's going to get pulled out. It always has before. So why even be happy? It's a way you protect yourself, but it's unhealthy. Because it robs you from growing and experiencing gifts and joys of the Lord that he can bring through people, but you want to give them the time of day because you already think you figured them out. Does that make sense? Negative thinking. Another perfect example is, if I gave you 100 compliments, but I tore you down once or twice, what are you going to remember? Right? Same thing in life. Negative thinking. Constantly thinking the bad instead of the good. It's not healthy. It robs us of a gratitude and having a positive attitude. It robs us from growing. And it blinds us from seeing what God's doing. Amen. How many of you know we're all broken? How many of you know failure is part of life? We all make mistakes, right? We all fall on our face. And that brings up the next one, which is a fear of failure. Why is people afraid to to fail. Maybe they had such high standards put on them when they were growing up with their parents or whoever, yelling and screaming, you got to be the best. We don't accept mediocrity. Second place is first loser. Any of those things that might be brought into someone's life. So they're so hard on themselves that they can't ever give themselves a break, and they have unrealistic expectations. And so they won't even try something if there's even the hint of them failing. They have to be the best at everything that they do, or they won't even try. That'll rob you from a lot. Nobody just woke up, maybe one in a million child could come up at 3 years old as a prodigy, grab a violin, listen to one song, and play it. Most people practiced and fell on their face to be good at anything that they had done. Being a Christian, if you've lived your whole life not as a Christian, or were just kind of in and kind of out, and you kind of did the motions, but you never really had a relationship with God, you know, you're going to be like, well, you know, I'm not good at this Christian thing. It's just not working for me. And then if I asked you, well, what part's not working? I bet you a lot of the time you couldn't even explain it. Well, I don't know. I just, what do you want? What do you not feel? What do you need to see? Well, I'd like to hear the Lord more. I've had people say, well, I've heard God, you know, I haven't seen him. He's not speaking to me. And then in the next three sentences say, well, they did have someone, and she said this and met my need and really encouraged me that day. And I said, well, you don't think the Lord was in that? Well, we all want this audible voice. We all want, and sometimes, that, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but that's really rare. We all want this outside thing, but we minimize our... We don't see the value in the relationships when someone is encouraging you at that exact moment. It's not coincidence, especially if they don't even know what you're going through, and they reach out to you and it encourages you and blesses you. That's the Lord using that person to touch your life. Isn't that good enough? Well, nobody cares. We've all, maybe not everyone in here, right? I don't have any friends. How many of you have said that? I had a friend tell me once, you got to be a friend to have a friend. Oh, you mean it's not on everybody else to come and meet my needs and encourage me constantly, pat me on the back and give me attaboys, or reach out and invite me to an event when you don't ever invite anybody anywhere, right? Anybody have those thinkings, their patterns in their life? They're unhealthy. Am I touching it right here? Is it working? Perfectionism. That's a tough one. Perfectionists, they can't make mistakes. Kind of like the earlier person I described. It has to be perfect. Failure's not an option. And the problem with that is we're not perfect. Nothing is. Nothing is. In the Bible, when it says, be thou perfect as I am perfect, when God is speaking and he's using Paul, be thou as perfect as I, that means mature. It's not perfect. There's only one that's perfect, and that's Jesus. But be thou perfect as I am. Be mature, growing onward and upward in your walk with God. Be moving forward in your walk with God. Mature. You're not doing what you used to do. Those things offend you now. You're in a different place. You're growing in your faith. You're not just staying there and just, I'm repenting of my sins all the time. You're actually growing onward in your walk with God. You recognize your failures. You recognize your weaknesses. So to combat perfectionism, you have to first understand that nothing's perfect, and you need to set realistic standards. Another one is no boundaries. I would say this is one that a lot of us fall into. No boundaries with people are limiting when they ask for something. There's a lot of yes people in here all the time. Yes. Even though you haven't checked your schedule, even though you know you don't have the time right now because you might be going through something, but you're so worried about letting people down that you don't give yourself any break or any rest in your life. You're always there for someone else, but you got to ask yourself, because even that way of living, that way of thinking that, hey, I got to just do it all the time. Now, I'm not saying if God puts something on your heart, you go do it. But this isn't outside of that also. This is where you can't say no when you really should say no. And then you get down on yourself. Because when you're that person, and I have been that person, then I start to become resentful because of all the work I'm doing. And I don't feel like anybody's seeing it. I don't feel appreciated. Don't they know how hard I work? Don't they know I canceled something to do this for them? Do they even care? Right? And then I get resentful. Whose fault is it? It's mine. I'm not saying that you guys all start saying no to everything. I'm saying be realistic. Be fair, because guess what? You know, the greatest revelation is you can't please everyone. And some people are just unpleasable. Some people, no matter what you do, they're unpleasable, probably because they have a negative mindset. And so from that, you got to think, how can I take, because you know what? God wants you to be in his word. And not only does he want you to be in his word, he wants you to know who you are in Christ Jesus, and you are a new creature. So with a new creature, and it says that we are to have a renewed mind, that means a new way of thinking and a new way of living. Now, given a lot of this is psychological, it's not to intermix that. I believe all good gifts come from God. So even what we've learned about the human brain is a gift from God. And from that, we can actually look and see, hey, this is a pattern I possess. It's not healthy. So when you do have it, you can go, So not saying no, knowing boundaries, setting healthy boundaries. Amen. I've got a couple more. This one's a good one. I catch myself doing this one. Comparison to others. Comparing yourself to someone else. And I've said this 100 times. With our social media-driven world, it is easy for us to constantly compare ourselves to others with the curated highlight reels of people's lives and their accomplishments, or so it seems. We can quickly feel like we're falling short in comparison. In truth, this is rarely accurate. It is definitely not helpful, and it brings a decrease in self-esteem, and it robs us of having a grateful attitude. Would you agree? I almost just think it would be great to post only things that are true on Facebook. Family with sweats on. House is dirty. Food is subpar. Doesn't look great. Just bring it real. I'm sure people do that. But, you know, we see these ideas and we have, it's meant to trigger things in our mind. Did you know that? It's engineered that way. And with kids today, I don't know how they could keep up. I got to give it to them. I don't know how I would fare if at their age with what they have in their hand today. I'll be honest. I don't know how well I would do. This is too much information. And some things you just shouldn't know till you have the age to understand it or comprehend or look at all the aspects of it. Right? That's why they have detox camps in other countries for phones. I say that, and I know and I look at it as a tool, and it has a place and a purpose. But when I look at it and I think about kids, for us when we were kids, if we went on a 4x4 trip or somewhere and we got stuck, we're walking. As far as we went away is how far we got to walk. And that never seemed to occur to us. Whatever we were doing, now it's like kids don't even want to drive. They're not in a hurry to drive. I couldn't wait to drive. The mindsets have changed, see. Our kids need more encouragement in a way, if you ask me, because they have more things to think about than we did. When I wanted to do something, no one could tell them, tell me I couldn't do it, and I'm going to show you I can do it. And I would be like, I'm going to go do it, and tell me I can't, I'm going to do it. I'd go to the library, I'd get a book, and I'd read it, and I'd study, and all this work to try to figure out something and go do it. And then now, if you want to do it, they go on YouTube, and they're like, a lot of people have already done that. They don't even want to try. You see what they're losing? The comparing of what everything's going on, and they make assumptions about things, and then they just don't want to try, and then they become stagnant. Not all kids. Relationships. You know that some people have a hard time just talking one to another because They'd rather text. And texting's hard because you don't know the body language. You can't see how the person really feels. And most of the time, we'll take it in a negative when really it could be a positive. Anyone else run into that? And am I the only one that feels like I have to re-spell my words when I spelled them wrong at the bottom? Like everybody I'm texting is a spell checker and has a list? Because I do that, right? Because I'm insecure about my spelling. Even though I think it's the phone that does it half the time. I'm like, I know how to spell that word. So comparison in others. You'd want to limit yourself and know that, you know what? There is no comparison. When you are a child of God, that is all that matters. And it says he's called you by name. When he said that in Isaiah, he has called you by name on Isaiah 44. He's speaking to the Israelites, but we know the word of God does not change. He's called you by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. These are all the scriptures that come to mind when I look at you and I think of people. We were created in God's image for a purpose. And the most joy you'll ever have in life will when you are in that right position under him. When you put your trust and your hope and your faith in him. Another scripture that is encouraging that speaks to me is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses or their sins to them, and has committed to us the word or the ministry of reconciliation. You as Christians and me as a Christian, we have a ministry of reconciliation to help people see that there's more to life and that they are broken and fallen and in sin, and through redemption in Jesus Christ, they can have true life, fullness life, an abundant life, which is what Jesus had said. I have come to give them life to the full. Not halfway, but to the full. Jesus has made a way for us, amen? And this is where people go, well, that sounds great, but you know, practicing it's a lot different. What does that mean exactly? When you realize, when you get up in the morning, when's the last time you actually went outside, especially now that it's nice, went outside and sat and looked at the mountain ranges that we have around Red Bluff with all the snow on them? No one? No, I mean, but take a moment. You probably do. A moment. Every day. And you go, wow. You mean he who formed all of that wants to know me? And not only wants to know me, he sent his son to die for me so that I may know him. That, to me, is amazing. I don't understand it or fully comprehend it. I don't think any of us fully will. But you can experience it. And you do it by taking every thought captive. You have a whole year set before you. Some of us won't make the whole year. Who knows? It's in God's hands. It's his timetable. But you got a whole year, and everyone does New Year's resolutions. I do that whenever I feel like it. Doesn't have to be a new year. The point is, you just say, hey, let's think about how you go into the next day, the rest of this day, how you think and view things. Do you do self-reflection? How many of you know that's really important? Let me give you an example. If someone comes and says that you are not a good worker, that's offensive. You should honestly be able to go, is it true? And then if you're not fully sure, you should be able to go ask a really close friend that really, really knows you or someone in your family, and they'll go, yeah, you ain't quite like you used to be, right? You should be able to self-reflect and be honest. If you cannot have self, and that's one example. Another example is just in your relation to other people. If you cannot walk away from a conversation and go, did I sound rude? And actually think about doing something about it next time or saying apologize, how are you ever going to grow? You will not grow. You will be a thorn. in someone's side, if you cannot self-reflect in your life and go, how can I do better, Lord? How can I grow? How can I help the situation instead of just making it worse? No takers? Yes? Right? I think it's important because everyone's watching. When you're a Christian, I get judged a lot. I mean, seriously. I used to go, when I drive by and I'd see Igarda or Rod or all these people back in the day, and I'd wave, even though it's the awkward miss the wave part, and they didn't wave. Maybe they didn't see me. They are older than me. Maybe it was that awkward moment. I'm like, how dare they call themselves a Christian? Can't even wave at a brother? Right? Or that's just a simple example, but we do it all the time. Why didn't Sean come say hi? Or why didn't he visit? Well, did you ask? You just never know, right? So people, we have these unrealistic expectations, and in the world, they put that because they see everything on TV, and when you say you're a Christian, that's how they might view you. So we have a responsibility in the ministry of reconciliation to be a light to those people. And when they say things that are off, you could say, where did you get that information? I didn't see that in the Bible. And allow them to open up. And when they do, you can share the word because God is opening the door, amen? And know this, and I want to leave you with this and be encouraged in this. This is what we hear in Hebrews. It says, therefore, we also, since have surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross despite the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God. When I think about that in Hebrews, and it was right after all the heroes of the faith, he's saying to them and encouraging, lay aside the things, when we go into this year, lay aside the things that you know don't benefit you. Lay aside the negative thinking, the people that you have a hard time forgiving are trying to figure out why something happened. Some things just happen because we live in a fallen world and there's nothing you could have done to change it. But yet we want to know the why. Know this, we live in a fallen world and people are broken. But there's one thing that we do know, and that is that we all need Jesus, amen? And so we get to go be a light. So do some self-reflection. Think to yourself, is what am I saying? Is it helping? Is it contributing? When you're wrong, admit it. Be kind. Be generous. And know that Jesus is working in and through us, and he's given us the Holy Spirit, so we don't have to try to do all this on our own. We just need to be humble and come before him and submit to him. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us everything that we need to live a godly life. Lord, I thank you that you reveal things, as it says in even Hebrews 4:12, Lord, that your word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing the soul asunder. Lord, it separates our motivations. It reveals to us the intents of our very heart. So, Lord, we don't ever have to be confused. You've given us everything we need to fully understand what we're doing and what we're going through and how we are to apply your word to our life. So, Father, I thank you that you haven't left us to our own devices, that, Lord, you have made a way for us and you've given us the choice to truly walk after you, to serve you. So, Lord, I thank you for that, God. I thank you that you first loved us. I thank you that you are the good shepherd. I thank you that you are the bread of life. Lord, I thank you that, Father God, you know every heart, every hardship, every struggle in this room. And, Father, the fact that on this Sunday morning with the weather good, those that are here have come before you to know your word, to worship, to gather into fellowship. Lord, I pray blessings that you would just bless them and encourage them and uplift them. And Lord, I thank you for our body. I thank you for where we are and the opportunities that you've given everyone in this room. So Lord, we pray against the lies of the enemy, the attacks of the enemy, those who do not know who they are, that they would find their identity in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And may you go and be a blessing.